Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
قلت سلوا عنه بالحلوم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. الحمد لله, we come to the chapter number 3 of Qasida Burda. And Allama Busairi Rahimullah here is alerting us, informing us, and including in his particular specific poetry the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for this, you know, ma madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati, walakin madahtu maqalati bi Muhammadi. I have not praised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the poet says, I have not praised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with my praises. Ma madahtu Muhammadan bi maqalati. I have not praised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with my speech, but rather my speech becomes praiseworthy because of the mention of Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this chapter, chapter number 3, concerning the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the first chapter, he claimed his love. The second chapter, Allama Busairi Rahimullah then was openly declaring and opening up to us and telling us about shaitan, the nafs, and how the nafs opens up, how the nafs opens up pathways to evil, and to stay on guard, be on guard, and for opposing the pathways to Satanism, to shaitan. In this particular chapter, Allama Busairi Rahimullah is speaking about the praises of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just remember, as we ended the last chapter, chapter number 2, what did we speak about in those chapters, or in those stanzas at least? He made mention of how he did not prepare for the Akhirah. And naturally so, any person who has done so much of good deeds, he still feels that I haven't done enough. I've not done enough. And I shared with you in the last episode, towards the end, if you hear it, there we spoke about how a particular person, pious in nature, always engaged in good actions, advice, nasiha, to the point that towards the end of her life, she was asking, bring zamzam water, bring miswak, all of these things. In fact, when we used to come on, she used to correct us and tell us, see, this you said, you should have said. One day I was speaking on As-siwak mitharatun lil-fami wa maradatun li-rabbi. I was speaking about the miswak. So one day she alerted me and she said that, see. And of course I was a mahram to her. She said, see, miswak, you spoke about all the benefits. But the main benefit you forgot to speak about. The main benefit you forgot to speak about. I'm scratching my head. Okay, what I'm trying to think now. What did I say on air? Then she said, the main benefit is what? So of course, the main benefit is what? You pass away with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just to highlight this point of miswak, you've got to have iman bil ghaib in this day and this era to use a miswak. You've got to have iman bil ghaib. You've got to have love for Habib Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this, if you look at the first stanza, let's open it up for you. Dhalamtu sunnata man ahya dhalama ila anishtakat qadamahu dhurri miwarami. Allama Busairi rahimahullah is saying, I transgressed the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who passed the night. And how did he pass his night? Until his feet complained of injury due to being swollen. He's speaking of a specific sunnah. But in this, we're going to highlight to you sunnah. This word sunnah and the rest. I'm speaking to you and I'm telling you about this particular sunnah of the miswak. You've got to have Iman bil ghaib, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and highlights the first quality of these muttaqeen, hudal lil muttaqeen. In Surah Al-Baqarah, opening verses, Allah Azza wa Jal, the first quality mentions those who believe in the unseen. To use a miswak, you've got to believe in the unseen. Once I shared with you this previously on other occasions, but it fits here, so we'll share it with you here as well, that we went to this doctor. He was there in Boxburg. I still remember his name, Dr. Groenewald. He was elderly, but very professional. And my parents used to like to take us there because once you attach to someone, once you've got security or you know the person can do the job, then you tend to use that person, even though there might be other options closer. You don't mind traveling the distance, but because that person is trustable, does a good job, gives you what you need. And specifically, he used to give gas. Today, go and see. You do your own research and you'll see yourself why they were considering to ban gas in South Africa. And this was specifically for the dentists because they were using it more than anyone else. You go do the research and you'll see. Gas. So once you're on that gas, my mother used to sit there when he used to put the gas on me. And she used to say, is this how you carry on when you're under the influence of this gas and the rest? So you're laughing, and he would make jokes himself while he's busy with your teeth. And then you'll say, don't laugh. But he's making jokes intentionally. So that whole environment, it just made you feel, okay, we need to go there. Sometimes in business etiquettes, with ethics, in fact, is the correct word. Business ethics, we forget about service. We forget about service in our business organizations and the rest. And this particular concept of business ethics and highlighting this particular point under this topic of business ethics, of giving good service to your customers, feedback, customer, allowing that communication, this year plays a big role in fostering your organization, your product, whatever you are selling, promoting, or services that you are providing. Customer feedback, how can I improve? Today, Muslims generally, and I speak here specifically of in South Africa, we tend to hide and shy away from this. Because why? We don't like people to tell us what's wrong with our products, what's wrong with us, what's wrong with... But in the light of the Sharia, in the light of your own enhancement, development, you need these people to tell you what you are doing is wrong so that you can develop yourself. But we love and we are addicted to our egoistic nature. So therefore, we just need people to praise us constantly. If you praise me, I feel you are the best person in the world. The minute you criticize me, I feel like you've just stood on me and you've humiliated me in such a bad way. This is how we feel, unfortunately. We feel violated. We feel that this is not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to bring me down like this. Why? He doesn't like me. He's got some personal issues. But meantime, the person you wished well for you, and he wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you grow. He doesn't want to see you make these mistakes. It's like a parent and child relationship. My child, don't do this. I've been through all of this. You don't go down this road. But that child persisted, wants to go down that road. He's speaking from experience. So well wishers, they also criticize you, but the objective is they want you to prosper. I don't say all people who criticize you, you've got to see also now. Some are there, they're in for it. They'll tell you when you want to go for a dini course or do something dini, they'll discourage you because why? Allah alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best why. Anyway, this aspect, we don't allow this. People to tell us that, you know what, this year, I'm not even speaking of deen yet. I'm speaking just of our business and all of this year. We don't like people to give us bad feedback. But bad feedback is healthy for you so that you can grow better. So to these, you'll see all these organizations, few things, in fact, they beat us with. Amongst them is this year, is they allow customer feedback, complaints. They open the floor for those people. And if you got a product complain, they will replace it with you with a better one. Why? Because a customer who's satisfied is success. That used to be the slogans of before. Unfortunately, today it is, let's see how we can rip the customer off in a manner that he doesn't even know he's ripped off. You purchase the product, you purchase this, but you don't even know that it's in the long run. Then after a few months, you see, hey, this product said this, that, the other, lasting so long, look at it, already finished. They just wanted to make a quick buck. And that's where and as far as it will go, just to make a quick buck. Just to make a quick buck, you will do this, that, the other. Whereas, if you just look in the books, what is the sunnah? What does hadith, when we speak of sunnah, yeah, we speak, sometimes we refer to sunnah, meaning the hadith. Quran and sunnah, you will hear this term. But not always, it means the actual. The sunnah means the emulation of Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Keep that in mind constantly. So when here we see the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you just have to go to, it is Riyadu Salihin, and you go to the chapter of Sidq, and you will see a beautiful chapter there, and it is on truthfulness. Sidq means truthfulness. So hadith, towards the end of the chapter, you will find a beautiful hadith there, and it mentions about bay, mentions about sales. See, when we think of tasawwuf, all of this, what do we tend to think of only? We tend to only think of our inner, internal condition. But tasawwuf is complete. It's also your dealings, because once your dealings has those stains of evil attached to it, then it still has to still deal with your inner, because what you're going to eat is then going to portray, you know, input, output. So if my earnings is stained with lies, deceit, and the rest, then whatever I'm going to purchase to eat, to drink, feed my family with, then that also is going to have that spillover effect. You know, when they speak of the tariff uncertainty, what do they speak about? They speak about the spillover effects it has in other countries. That's what they're speaking about. The spillover effects in other countries. So when this takes place, now you look at it. Germany is the producer of Mercedes-Benz. But if you go here to the east of our country, you will find Mercedes-Benz is there. Mercedes-Benz, South Africa. And they are supplying the US with Mercedes-Benz. Go and see those figures. If you take, now we are in 2025. They did a comparison and they said, if you see the sales from 2024, January to June, the sales was approximately 16,000 and more. Mercedes-Benz was sold to the United States. When you look in this year, the 2025, January to June, the same period, only 2,000 and something was sold, vehicles, to the US. So they're thinking of closing down. If they close down, it has a spillover effect immediately on Germany themselves. And there must be some reason why the US chose to buy it from South Africa. And of course, they say that it will not be the same again. The entire area will not be the same again once you do not have Mercedes-Benz in that particular area. East London plant, which is Mercedes-Benz East London plant, this is where it took place. And it's going to have a spillover effect throughout. MBSA, they call it, Mercedes-Benz South Africa. So it's going to have a spillover effect to all the different countries. What's our spillover effects with regards to you and I? With regards to our dealings, with regards to our actions. If I do a bad deal with you in terms of I deceived you, I lied to you just to make that quick buck. We don't have that vision to say that that quick buck eventually is going to harm me. And it's going to have a spillover effect because my salah is going to be affected. I told you, if you want to join us, we just started this group. And it is, I named it, with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, improve my salah. Because I need to improve my salah. And I said, whoever wants to join in, you can join in. And we started a group, improve my salah. So you want to join this particular group, I can send you the message. I can send you the group link. And you can join this particular group, improve my salah. You can send me a message now, 084-786-3132. +27 84 786 3132, and just say, add me to the group, improve my salah. So this morning we shared with you that dua, and that is the dua of Surah Ibrahim, the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, that is chapter number 14, and you're looking at verse number 40. Chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse number 40. رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. So this is the dua. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. Oh Allah, make me one who establishes salah and from my progeny as well. And accept us. رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. Accept our supplications. Accept my supplication, Ya Allah, O our sustainer. So this is the first dua, and we're going to have a gradual process where we share, so that you and I, for the next salah, perhaps you in a different portion of the world, but for us it is Dhuhr salah. If it is the next salah, it is Fajr salah. Wherever you are in the world, you're going to see which salah is next. But we want to prepare our minds for that salah, so that because now what is compulsory upon me and what is needed of me is to improve my lifestyle. And we mentioned to you why, because taqwa is a vital ingredient in protecting, in showing, in dignifying, or showing or expressing that honor that is to be given to those noble sites, the noble symbols of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where does this fall in? You look at the verse. And it is chapter 22, verse 32. وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever sanctifies the symbols of Allah, then this emanates due to the taqwa of the hearts. So this is verse 32, chapter 22, Surah Al-Hajj. Means that to sanctify the symbols, you need taqwa. But how can my taqwa not be developed if I'm not performing salah? That means I won't be able to sanctify Masjid al-Aqsa and the noble lands of Masjid al-Aqsa surrounding it, meaning, because that's also mentioned in chapter 17, Alladhi barakna hawlahu, Surah al-Isra. The precincts we have blessed, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions. So, to honor Masjid al-Aqsa, its precincts, Gaza and the rest, I need taqwa. This is the vital ingredient. This is the vital ingredient. If you take different foods and you don't put the main ingredient, people will say, oh, how can you call this akni when the main ingredient is not put in there? How can you call it akni? So how can my screaming for Masjid al-Aqsa and its surroundings be true, sincere, when I haven't fixed up my taqwa? Makes sense, doesn't it? And yeah, I've got the peace, I've got the time to develop myself. And once I develop myself, Allah Azza wa Jal will assist us in a plan and to devise a plan to protect our Masjid al-Aqsa. But as long as we don't have taqwa, we're just going to be screaming, ranting, raving, and expecting ICJ and ICC to help us and rescue us. We're all waiting for that, aren't we? But salah, and I said to you, before salah, even it starts, and that is what we are eating, what we are earning, all of this plays a major, major role. Vital, vital ingredient. You see the spillover effects it has. So we need to go back to the roots. Let's see our dealings. Now look at this hadith I mentioned to you. So we're looking at the hadith, Babu Sidq, Riyadu Salihin, the very last hadith of this chapter. Chapter number 4, Babu Sidq, Riyadu Salihin, Allama Nawawi Rahimullah's hadith collection, which is beautiful. I mean, they've got all the beautiful hadith that you can find there. And this is all working on your Islah, working on your self-reformation. That's what Islah is all about. Hadith 59, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-bay'ani bil-khiyar, ma lam yatafarraqa. The buyer and the seller, when we're doing deals, what is it? It's the buyer and the seller. You're getting married, what is it? The future wife, the future husband. When we're doing a deal, it's got to be, you've got to have a buyer and you've got to have a seller. Right. Al-bay'ani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa. The buyer and the seller, they have the option of either scrapping the deal or continuing the transaction as long as they do not part ways. So me and a particular person, I said, you know what? I want to purchase this product from you. And so the deal is on now. I saw the cell phone is looking good, 5,000 yen. I put the offer down. So that offer is down as long as we didn't separate. As long as we did not separate. Once we separated, I went, I looked at another phone now. I looked at something else now. And I've gone to another shop, whatever it may be. Now, you sold that phone as the seller to someone else. I can't come back and say, but why didn't you keep that phone for me? Unless you agreed to keep it for me, then that's a separate scenario. But if there was no agreements of such nature, then I can say to you, in the same meeting, I'm greeting you, I'm meeting you, and I'm telling you I'm purchasing this phone from you. And I said 2,000 rand. While I'm speaking to you, another person comes and you show some interest in my deal, but you just go and you sell the phone to him. So, al-bay'ani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa. As long as we didn't separate, that deal is still on. Now, fa'in sadaqa. وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا. If they are both truthful, me as the buyer, I'm not giving you fake 200 notes. The other day in the one shop, one person walked in and he played a trick, but he wanted to alert the shopkeeper that, see, you're also going to get fake notes. So he gave him a fake note, 200 rands. And he looked at it and he gave him another 200. He said, I'm giving you this. The shopkeeper got so happy. He got happy, right? Then he wanted to, I guess his intention was to alert him that, see, you can get trapped in these things. And he mentioned to him, that's how I got trapped. He said he got trapped in his shop the same way. The 200 yen note was fake. So me, as the purchaser, I must be truthful. You, as the seller, you have to be truthful. The phone has faults in it. You have to mention to me that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. As long as you and I both are truthful, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْئِهِمَا, that they will be blessed if both are truthful and make things clear. They will be blessed in their transaction. They will be blessed in their transaction. Blessings, it goes a longer way. Blessings goes a longer way, even though it may be little. What do they say in English? A little goes a long way. We adjust their statements and we'll put in what we need to put in. A little goes a long way, yes. But if there's no blessings, a little will never go a long way. A little goes a long way if there's blessings. Barakah is the key word. If there's barakah in it, then there will be a lot of blessings in it. And that's what we're searching for. It's going to take you to your destination. We want Jannah, don't we? But we're saying, no, I'll just cut this deal, make this deal quick and easy, and I'll get so much. But you don't forget, it's like they say in English, you're cutting your nose to spite your face. That's exactly what you're doing. You're cutting your nose to spite your face. So I'm going to do this deal of deceit with you, but I don't see tomorrow that same item which I've purchased from you and I use the fake 200 note. So now I've got the item. I'm screaming, I'm not going to see you again. And I'm excited, I deceived you. But where's the blessings in it? You see, this is what it is. Yesterday, a few days ago, I'll just say, a brother opened up to me and he's speaking to me about interest. And then I mentioned to him that, see, this is the verses of the Quran Sharif, what Allah Azawajal is saying to you. If you just turn and we speak about this here, verse 175 of Surah Al-Baqarah. 175 of Surah Al-Baqarah. What does Allah Azawajal tell you there? In fact, it's not 175. It's, if you look at it, verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. And you are looking at verse 275, Surah Al-Baqarah, not 175. 275. Allah Azza wa Jal, you just see those four verses, 275, 276, 276, then you skip 277, go to 278 and 279. All those verses speak about riba. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying to you, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that those people who eat riba, they won't stand except like a person who stands who is touched by shaitan. He won't stand except he will stand like the one who is driven into madness because of the touch of shaitan. That's to what extent it will take you. And why did this happen? It's because they said pay is just like riba. Because what did they say? قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. It's the same thing they said. But Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah has permitted bay and Allah hasn't permitted riba. Has made that haram. So why not? So this person, as you are engaging, I showed him the verse, everything. And when you see something with your own eyes, it knocks you harder, right? So when I told him this here, then he quickly opened up to me and he said, this, I have to get rid of now. I have to get rid of it. Immediate reaction. See, when he's alerted, now look what Allah Azza wa Jal says to you here. In the same verse 275. فَمَنْ جَاءَهُ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. Allah Azza wa Jal says that those who after receiving the direction, the nasiha, the wa'ad. Wa'ad means the advice from the sustainer, desist. Then, this was when the initial instruction came. فَانْتَهَا فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. When they desist, فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفْ. Then for them, they shall be pardoned for the past. وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And their case is for Allah to judge. But those who repeat, now this was direct instruction for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If you engage in interest today, meaning you are the recipient of interest. So I gave you, you said to me, you know what, you want a loan of 200,000. So I said, okay, here's 200,000, but when you pay me 250,000. Now over 2 years, you paid me 250,000. I've got the 250,000. Now for my tawbah to be active and for it to be sincere, I have to return that 50,000 rands back to you. Because why? I'm the recipient of that interest. So for me, it's not maaf anymore. For Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when the instruction came, whatever, what we say, bygones, leave bygones as bygones. But that was for that specific period. For me now, I will have to pay you back that 50,000 because now the law is out. It's out. And it was out since the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa amruhu ila Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying their case is for Allah. But look at this warning here now. For you and I all. Wa man aada. Whoever repeats. Wa man aada. Whoever repeats. Fa ulaika ashabun nar. then they are the companions of the fire. هم فيها خالدون, and they will reside in there forever, forever. Understand this warning, it's grave. If we're involved in riba, give it up. Give it up. The warning is grave. You become the companions of the fire. And you will reside in there forever if you have said, if you have said that bay is like riba, it's one and the same. You don't even recognize that riba is haram. Then you have become a disbeliever and you will reside in the fire forever because you have what Allah Azawajal has put in the Sharia. You have not recognized it. You've rejected it openly and said, no, it's one and the same. Now you will become the companion of the fire and you will reside in there forever. If you engage in riba or you still continue to engage in riba, knowing that it is evil, you will still remain a believer, but you will have to go for the cleansing process. And that cleansing process is so severe that you would wish that you didn't engage in it. So now you are living, as long as you are listening to this message, so why not put an end to it? Fantaha, immediately put that stop, that red stop sign. Immediately now you say enough is enough. Fantaha. You stop it. Stop it totally. So what happens when you stop it? When you stop riba, there's going to be blessings for you. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you, verse 276. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah will deprive usury. Allah Azza wa Jalla will deprive usury. All blessings you won't find. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah decreases riba. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And Allah increases sadaqat, zakat, all that you pay on time. You give charity. Allah increases that. But look how this goes against logic. But aren't we people who believe in the unseen? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. As we said to you in the beginning. Look at it this way, right? I gave you 200,000 rands. You gave me back 250,000 rands over 2 years. 50,000 rand is interest. Outwardly, it looks like I've earned more than you. Or I've earned more than I gave you. I gave you 200,000 and now I've made a 50,000 rand profit. But it's not profit. That is total riba. It's not profit. It's riba. So now what happens is that 50,000 looks like I've got something in return. But there Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling me, and this is the truth, 276 Surah Al-Baqarah, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah will decrease riba. وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. And Allah will increase sadaqat. Outwardly, according to our logic, it seems like I've gained more. But that 50,000 rand, I might earn it. And just to put it practically, it may not happen like this. But somehow or the other, that 50,000 won't have blessings. One way of not having blessings, I may incur much more expenses because of so A, B, C, C, or D, D, E, or whatever it is. Accidents or the rest. These will take up that 50,000 and more. Just a practical way of understanding. But it doesn't have to only work out that way. I can still have that 50,000. I can still purchase things with that 50,000. But whatever I'm going to purchase, there's not going to be blessings in it. Allah decreases riba. وَيُرُبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. I came to you and you said, you know what? You need money. 200,000 rands. So I said, okay, you know what? Let's be fair to you. You pay me back. I'll give you 200,000 rands. You only pay me back 200,000 rands because I don't want riba and the rest. So fine. I gave you 200,000 and you're going to pay me back 200,000. You paid 150,000. I said, you know what? That 50,000 that you still owe me, that 50,000 that you still owe me, you only paid me 150,000 out of the 200,000. That you only paid me 150,000 of the 200,000. So that 50,000, when it comes there, I say, you know what? That's sadaqah. It's maaf. You don't have to pay me back. Now, I made you maaf on this year. And now all of a sudden, there's so much of blessings in my life. See, this is what we mean. Allah increases sadaqah. So in my bank balance, if you have to put it down on numerical figures and the rest, it seems, and the accountant will tell you, you lost. You lost money. But what's barakah? Barakah doesn't work with figures. Barakah goes beyond the understanding. And barakah is given directly from Allah Azza wa Jal. That's barakah. So this brother that told me of all of this, he said immediately, he said, you see this here, I'm getting rid of it. I have to get rid of it now, he told me. Allah Azza wa Jal grant him the tawfiq and understanding. And able, give me, you and all of us, because we don't know when we're going to slip. Give us the ability to stay strong. Give us the ability to say no to riba. We have to oppose the system of riba. I said to you, it's like the verse of the Quran Sharif 275, you are touched by shaitan. You won't be standing except like you're standing with the touch of shaitan in you. يَتَخَبَّتُ شَيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. You're like a madman walking around. So there's many explanations, but there's no time to go into those explanations. So this dealing, I was saying, wheeling and dealing, it's got to be sincere. And once it's sincere, then you can move forth. And then you can have success in your life. Once you have success in your life, then you are holding on to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The end of the hadith that which we quoted for you, hadith 59, وَإِنْ كَتَمَا وَكَذَبَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْئِهِمَا. If a person, the buyer or the seller, they conceal or they lie, deception, the blessing of their transaction is removed. The blessing of their transaction is removed. I'm selling you a car. I'm going to tell you, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. You want to buy it? You don't want to buy it. It's better for me than to lie and to hide and to conceal, and the deal gets done. Remember, this is factual. This is hadith. What do I want from my life? This is what it means. Belief in the unseen. Belief in the unseen. And this year, I was saying to you that sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What's the best? You don't know. And I was saying to you about the dentist. One day I went to him and I showed him my miswak. And I said, today I'm going to show you my miswak. He laughed at me in my face. He said, you're using this of the olden times. I said, my Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to use this miswak. But they don't have belief. So what do they understand? They don't understand it. But these were his words, non-Muslim. And I just looked at him and I said, I feel you sorry. I really feel you sorry. You may think you're feeling me sorry, but I feel you sorry. But more painful was this when I presented a miswak to a Muslim and they said, I vomit when I use miswak. That was like a stab through my chest. A Muslim saying this, and then I even said, did I make a mistake by giving this gift of, this beautiful gift of miswak to the wrong person? Did I make this mistake? Whatever it is, the sunnah, you never ever utter those words. You never ever say anything with regards to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you've learned this, you've learned a lot. If you've learned to respect sunnah, even though you cannot practice upon it, then you've learned a lot in your life. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. A person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. This is narration of Bukhari. Allah Azza wa Jal guide me, guide you, guide all of us to love the sunnah. And this is what Allama Abu Sayri rahimullah is saying. Dhalamtu sunnata man ahya dhalama ila anishtakat qadamahu durri mi warami. Allama Abu Sayri rahimullah is saying, طَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ إِلَىٰ أَنِشْتَكَتْ قَدَمَاهُ الدُّرَّمِ وَرَمِ. I transgressed the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed the night in ibadat. Passed the night, this sunnah is speaking about, standing in long, long rakats of salah. This is the specific sunnah Allama Busairi Rahimullah is speaking about here. But however, we shared with you other aspects in this particular stanzas. We're going to continue next week, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.